I've been bringing you a series, obviously, and you know that by now, a series in Jesus is the Way. And I've been giving you a whole bunch of things about Jesus is the Way, too. And I don't know whether you remember all of those ways that Jesus said that he was. Certainly, you probably can remember some of them, but let's review. I've been teaching you in a series about Jesus Christ says he is the Way. And the ways that he is he's the way to God, he's the way to life, he's the way to the truth, he's the way to love, he's the way to joy, he's the way to peace, he's the way to unity, he's the way to prayer, and he's the way to forgiveness. That's a lot of ways. And we're not done. Today we pick up on another thing that Jesus Christ said he is the way to, and it is a way to bearing fruit. It's a way to fruitfulness. I'll have you turn into your Bibles. We're going through the Gospel of St. John 15, verse 8. That's John 15, 8.
By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Yes. When we go away on our retreat, for those of you 31 folks that will be going, we will be spending quite a bit of time in deciding, are you a disciple or are you an attendee? We will be deciding together, are you a fan of Christ or are you a follower? And part of that will be defined as, are you bearing what? Fruit. Are you bearing fruit? We're going to be discussing that together. When we go away on our retreat, we'll be discussing whether you are bearing fruit. There will be a time of reflection on what fruit are you bearing. See, the answer will simply not be, yes, I am. Oh, no, it needs to go a little further than that. I need to ask you what? Well, what is it? What is the fruit that you profess to be bearing? And it says here pretty clearly, it says that if you are a disciple of Christ, if you are more than just a church attendee, if you are more than just a fan of Christ, you will be bearing what? Fruit. There's not an option. And you will not be bearing fruit in a small quantity. It's not like itty bitty fruit that nobody knows you have. It's what's the quantity? Much. It's much. Jesus said, I am the way for you to bear what? Much fruit. Same book, John 15, verse 16.
You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Yeah, lots of folks, they have a difficult time with that passage of scripture that says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. What does it mean? Well, that means, you see, Jesus chose to die for you before you were even you. Did you know that? Some of you may be close to 2,000 years old. Front row, Eddie. But Jesus decided to die for us 2,000 and some years ago before you were even you. He chose to die for who? You. How many know he chose to die for you before you were even you? He said, you didn't choose me. I what? Chose you. And then you take that to the second thought and you go to yourself, wait a second. You mean out of all the other people, he chose me to minister to everyone else? Oh, yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Who's the most important person in your ministry? You know the answer? The person in front of you. If God sends somebody to you, guess whose responsibility it is to take care of them? It's yours. You don't call 1-800-PASTOR-TOM. No, it's yours. If God sent them to you, guess what, Scott? It's yours. Thank you for the other night. Thank you. Scott brought his cousin to me. Scott brought his cousin to me. He had questions. He's going on a retreat. Scott and I met with his cousin in Wendy's, our church office in Cranberry Township. We met at our church annex. We have annexes all over the country, right? And we met at the church annex Thursday night. And the really neat thing was Scott's cousin had questions for me, but how to be saved was not one of them, because Scott already told him about that. So Scott already told him about that. And his cousin accepted Jesus Christ, not in my presence, but because of the seed that Scott had planted. Praise God for that, right? And so now he's going to go on the retreat.
I'm open.
Well, he said he was. Well, he will now, because his name's on the list. And I called it in. You know where he lives?
Oh, yeah.
He's gone. And so our option here to bear fruit is not an option. Go to John 15. We're hanging around in 15 for a while, so keep your finger there. John 15, verses 1 and 2.
The true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit.
Let me explain that to you. Oh, see, you want to bear fruit. Because if you do not bear fruit, it's not just, I just don't bear it. It's all, something else is going to happen to you. Scripture says that I am the vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the vine dresser. And he prunes it. Which means every branch on the vine that does not bear fruit, what does the Lord do with it?
Cuts it off.
And then what does he do with it? Yeah, look at the same chapter. Let's look at verse 6. John 15, 6.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned.
And they are burned. You see, what that means is, if you come to a church and you don't bear fruit, it's not that the church cuts you off. It's God cuts you off. Now, I know that sounds like kind of harsh and kind of bold. But that's what it says. It says that Jesus is the vine, and everyone who stays connected to the vine will bear what? Not just fruit, but much fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the way to bearing much fruit. That's what he says. And we're going to talk about fruit here in a second. And it says that those who are connected to the vine who are not bearing fruit, my Father comes and cuts them off the vine and then throws them in the fire. Why would he do that? Why would he just not allow the dead branches to stay connected to the vine? Why would he? What do you think?
Because they killed the plant.
Could they kill the plant? Or they sap the life. They sap the energy off of the vine. How many people understand that? When you have a dead branch connected to a rose bush, although that may not be producing any fruit of its own, the dead vine has no roses connected to it. That is true. And I guess we can let that thing hang on that thing right forever, I guess. I guess a dead branch can hang on a rose vine forever, I suppose, right? But if you let that hang on there, the plant will not be as productive as it could be if you take what?
The dead branch out.
Separate it off. And that's the bizarre thing in my mind. Sissy has a rose bush that Shauna got her for Mother's Day a couple years back. That thing's taken over our house. I gotta walk around that thing to get into my door. Because every year Sissy takes the branches and she does what? Cuts them off. And you think the thing would get smaller. But it's just the opposite. You start cutting those branches off, which makes it look smaller. And the next summer, guess what? It's many times bigger. Well, that's what happens in the church. See, what happens in the church, the dead branches suck the life out of the vine. How many understand that? Sucks the life out of it. Always problems, always issues, always concerns, always something about something. There's just something about something. And there's no productivity. And Jesus said that I need you, if you're my disciple, if you're more than just a church attendee, and you're my disciple, if you're more than just a fan and you are a follower, you are going to bear what? Fruit. Now, I'm not telling you this to make anyone feel bad. I'm telling you this because it's God's word. Can anybody understand the truth and accept it? It's just the truth. It's the deal. It's the truth. And I'm not telling you things that make you feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty based upon what I tell you. You should care less based upon what I tell you. It's His word that's telling you. It's the Thursday phone calls I get from Scott. He said, hey, if you're free tonight, can you meet me in the church annex in Cranberry? It's that stuff that you take a couple hours of your time and you're ministering to somebody who's got questions. I could have did that by phone. I could have done that. I could have said to Scott, make a list, give them to me, I'll write the answers down. Bearing what? Fruit. See, it's not his cousin's responsibility to go to the retreat. It's our responsibility that we invited him. Help me understand that. Look at your Bibles, please. Let's go to John 15:4.
Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me.
You see, not connected to the vine, you bear no fruit. And this is a really simple, this is logic 101. This doesn't have to take rocket science or degree in theology to understand that. If in my life I'm not bearing any fruit, logic 101 based upon that passage of scripture clearly says, well, I already know what the problem is. If I'm not bearing any fruit, it's because I'm not connected, what? To the vine. But Pastor Tom, but I go to church. Well, praise God, you got your name in the directory and you got a box of envelopes. You probably even have a lanyard with the name on it. Praise God. That's not bearing fruit. That means you're connected to the body, but you're not connected to the vine. Help me understand that. That's the difference. Look at John 15, verse 5.
I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
It's simple. It's simple. You see, bearing fruit does not mean you have the answers to all of the questions. Bearing fruit does not mean you have to go to seminary. Bearing fruit does not mean any of those things. Bearing fruit might mean you have some gas in your car to go pick somebody up, to take them to Wendy's in Cranberry Township, to sit down and talk to the senior pastor. That's bearing fruit. It's not having all the answers. It's go do something. Sew a prayer quilt. Tie a knot. In a prayer quilt, let somebody know you're praying for them. That's bearing fruit. Help me understand that. That's bearing fruit. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way to bearing fruit. And if you're not connected to me, you can't bear fruit because you can do what? Nothing. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Now see, you already know that passage of Scripture. How many could have quoted that one? I can do what? Which means bear fruit. Right? Which means bear fruit. I can do what kind of things? All things. What's that mean? That means everything, including what? Bearing fruit. So what does this bearing fruit look like? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Ah. Now here's the way this works. That, you know, baptism in Lake Arthur, I'm going to be bold here, okay? Baptized in Lake Arthur got you wet. It got you wet. Baptized with the Holy Spirit got you fruit. Let's run that by you another time. Baptized in Lake Arthur by me got you wet. And it might have got you some warm and fuzzies. But being baptized with the Holy Spirit at Lake Arthur got your fruit. How many understand the difference? You see, baptized in the lake because you've accepted Jesus gets you everything. Baptized in the water at Lake Arthur because you thought you needed to without accepting Jesus got you wet. How many, there's a big difference there. And for those of us baptized in Christ, we put Christ on. Which means your old self is what? Gone. And the new self has come. Some people find that fit a little snug. Some people who put on Christ find that a little confining. Maybe it's a little bit more confining than you thought. The old self is gone. Maybe the old friends don't see you the same. How many understand that too? Maybe you don't get invited to the places you got invited to. Thank God, you probably didn't need to be there anyhow. I'm just saying, right? Look in your scriptures, please, to John 15. John 15, 9 to 10.
As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
That's it. That's pretty simple stuff. Nowhere in what Susie read for you today did it say, continue to go to Faith Community Christian Church in Blueberry Park. It didn't say that. You didn't read that, right? And nothing in there said, continue to go to church on Sunday morning and you'll get the fruit. It didn't say that. It says, keep my what? My commandments. Keep them when? For this hour and a half on a Sunday morning, Leonard? Who said all the time? All the time. How many know that's the hard part? You see, a man's character is defined not what you do when everybody sees you, it's what you do when nobody sees you. That's character. And so what does this fruit look like? How will you know that you have it? What does this fruit look like? Let's turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 to 20. We're going to talk about the first manifestation of this fruit. Matthew 28, 19 to 20.
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
One of the things that we have to understand is that manifestation of indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to what? Disciple. Go ye therefore into where? All the world. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is the desire to what? Win souls. Is that on your mind? Is winning souls on your mind? If it is not, we have to talk about that. That doesn't mean that you need to be able to do it. It doesn't mean that you need to be able to want to have all the answers, but you should be like the Apostle Andrew. Can we know the Apostle Andrew, what he's known for? Peter walked on water, right? John wrote Revelation. What did Andrew do? What was his big claim to fame? Everybody know? He went and got folks. And what did Pastor Ed? Took them to meet Jesus. If you have a zeal for winning souls, you know what you could do? Bring people what? The church. That's the zeal. That's the fruit. Turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 to 14.
For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you.
Clearly says here that we need to have proof of his ministry by glorifying in his obedience. What is our job as Christians? Singing the praise team? Where in scripture does it say that you need to do that? It doesn't. It doesn't. Right, Jen? What does it say in scripture that you need to put money in the fish net? It doesn't. What is our job as disciples? Go therefore into all corners of the world, right, Mary? Winning souls, praising the God. That's our job. That's the first manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Hopefully in your life you are experiencing those things in greater abundance than you have experienced those things before. How many can experience those things now more than you did before? Not that you have to have them mastered, but don't we have these things more than we had them before? And I want to let you know, brothers and sisters, that this fruit that you have listed here, Galatians 5, 22, 23, this is not an option. It's not like the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, you will be given a gift according to the God's Holy Spirit. But fruit, how much of it do you get? All of it. You don't get one of it, like you don't just get Glenn Peace. You get what, Karen? All of it. And what abundance do you get of it? Much. Now, if you say to me, but Pastor Tom, I don't have those things in my life. I'm missing these things, and I want these things, and I don't have them. Well, we studied John 15. What's the reason why you don't have them? Because I didn't give them to you? Because the person next to you didn't give them to you? Because the world didn't give them to you? Who didn't give them to you, Whitey? You did not stay connected to the vine. I can assure you, you can't go into a church and get these things. Because you'll get opposite of those things. True? The only way to get those things is staying what? Connected to the vine. You got to stay connected to the vine. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 13, 15.
Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Are you praising God? That's a question. Are you praising him? Not just on a Sunday morning, but praising him every day. Who praises him every day? I mean, every day. Not just in your good times. Times are bad. That's when you need to praise him all the more. Somebody once said, you know what? If all my trials and tribulations cannot go away, then I praise you. You give me strength to raise my hands anyhow. Isn't that crazy? I mean, when you walk into a hospital like I do and I give a prayer quilt to somebody and they're praising God anyhow. Isn't that awesome? That's a testimony of someone's faithfulness. And so that's the fruit of the Spirit. So what happens when you do these things? What do you get when you do these things? We're going to jump down to 3 John. This is not the Gospel of John. It's 3 John, verse 4.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
No greater joy. There's no greater joy than to have someone accept Jesus Christ in your presence. No greater joy. There is no greater joy. Do you have that kind of joy in your hearts? I mean, above all else? The greater joy above what? All else. Do you go out of your way to make sure that you have that kind of joy in your life? I don't know. You know, back to that example of me meeting with Scott on Thursday night up in Wendy's. I bring this up because it just happened. You know, I would never not go because I want the what? I want the joy. I want the joy in my life. Like tonight when I go down to the Sons of God and Teen Challenge, you know, almost every single Sunday, Michael, you're there. Teen Challenge folks accept Jesus, right? Frequently. Two and three young guys come up and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That happens pretty frequently, right? I want that joy. I want that. It's not like I want to stay home and put my feet up. I just don't want to do that. I want to go. It's not because I don't have anything else to do, or it's not because I don't need to not do something. It's because I want that what, Mike? That joy. It's awesome. It's awesome. Right, Mike? Here, Mike goes with me. It's awesome to see these young guys that start crying. Oh my gosh, it's awesome to know that you had a part to play in somebody's life. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. So the first thing you'll get with the fruit is joy. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 35.
I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Mm. The second part of the gift of the Spirit is you receive joy and you receive happiness. Happiness. Does anybody get happy giving to others?
Yes.
Who gets more happy out of giving than receiving? Don't we all? That's the way we're wired. And so the second product of the fruit of the Spirit is happiness. You're happy. I'm happy. I'm a happy camper. I'm a happy camper. Am I tired? Yep. Yep. You know, Sunday night, tonight, when I get home around 11 o'clock, 11:30 from Teen Challenge, am I tired? Yep. Driving down that turnpike. I know every inch of that turnpike now. I'm tired. I am tired. I am tired. But I'm full of joy. I'm happy. The third manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 to 11.
For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, has forgotten that he has cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Wow, if you have these things, you will not be barren or unfruitful. Wow. And you will have the blessed assurance of salvation. Anybody want that in your life? I mean, let's talk about, this is the fruit. This is what you get. Jesus says, I am the way to joy and happiness and assurance. That's what I'm the way to. Let's do the last one. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, peace. Does anybody want peace? Just a blessed peace. So if you have this fruit in you, and Jesus said, I'm the way to fruit, those things I told you about, winning souls and sharing with others, going the extra mile, doing the little things, what does that get you in return? It gets you joy and happiness, blessed assurance and peace. Do you have those things? I mean, I know so badly you want to say, yeah. Yeah, I got these things. But do you really have these things? How many could use a lot more of those things? Well, you know what you need to do? You need to make sure that you go on your knees and pray to the Lord to be more fruitful in your life. And guess what you'll get a byproduct of? Those things. Those things. I know so many people say to me, you know, hey, Pastor Tommy, you need to slow down. No, I don't. No, I don't. I need to rev it up. I need to rev it up. I don't want less joy. Pastor Ed, I want what? More joy. I don't want less happiness, Sonny. I want more happiness. I don't want less peace, Karen. I want what? More peace. How many want those things too? So how can you get them? You need to spend more time doing things for the Lord, and these things will come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the honor to be able to be used by you. Father, time is running out. We can't get back yesterday. It's gone. We can't get back the day before yesterday. It's gone. Whatever we did with our lives, we can't get it back. There's no way we can get it back. But Lord, we sure have the rest of this day. And Lord willing, we have it again tomorrow. So Lord, you are the way. You are the way to bearing fruit. It is our job to stay connected to the vine. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But connected to you, we can do what? Everything. So Lord, help us to stay connected. In your awesome and wonderful name, we do pray these things. And all of God's people said, Amen.